you would, take your Bible, please. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go to chapter number 30 tonight. 2 Chronicles and chapter number 30. I want to take you to verse 3 to begin with, and then we're going to read this chapter. But verse 3, notice what it says, "For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem." That's an interesting verse, and it's talking about the keeping of the Passover and the fact that they had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. It got my attention. And my goodness, do we have some things in this chapter. If you would please, read with me. Beginning in verse number 1, chapter number 30, it says, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they could come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time, in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if ye return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation." We're going to cease reading there this morning or this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask tonight you might speak to our hearts, and God, that you would cause us to just really open our hearts and minds to you in these things, and allow you to move upon us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We find as we study throughout the remainder of this chapter in the life of Hezekiah, there was a great revival that took place. And we find that it really started immediately after Hezekiah took over the office of king. If you go back to chapter number 29, notice what it says in verse number 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now look at here. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. We find that Hezekiah began a process that brought them, as we find in chapter number 30, to where they, for the first time in well over 100 years, keep the Passover. It commenced, as we find, as he opened the doors and He brings the Levites and the priests, as we find verse number 4. It says He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together to the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And what we find here is this particular revival began as they were told to sanctify themselves and to carry the filth away from the temple. We understand something tonight in the New Testament that what? The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And real reviving comes as you and I begin to look and see the filth that is there and allow God to do some cleaning in our lives. How marvelous that is when we take and allow God to do that. Notice verse 17, drop down there. It says, Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctify the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the month they made an end. And so we find here some significant things taking place. We find in verse number 17 that after they began, it was on the 16th day of the month, that very first month, that they had finished the task of cleansing the house, cleansing themselves. And we find that as a result of that, as we get to chapter number 30 and we read, they are now going to keep the Passover. And we know the Passover, what is it? It was a feast to commemorate what had taken place in Egypt many years previous. The Passover, as they would partake of that lamb that had been pure and one that they had watched, and as they put that and took that lamb and killed that lamb, and they take the blood from that lamb and put it over the doorposts of their house, they would eat of that lamb. And we know that the night that that took place in the land of Egypt, they what? They packed up what little they had and they fled. And God took them on a journey that brought them finally to the promised land. And that was the beginning of that. And when we look back and we think about our own Christian walk in life, if you're saved tonight, it's because you applied the blood somewhere along the line. There was a time when you realized that you were a sinner and you asked the Lord to forgive you of that sin. And the blood He died or He shed upon the cross of Calvary was applied to the doorpost of your heart. And so now you began a journey. And God in that journey wants to take you out of Egypt. He wants to take you to the place of His temple, which really is in your heart. And God wants us to have a clean place for His abode. Well, we find it often in our lives, as well as in the lives of Israel, that sin comes in. So there has to be a cleansing process that takes place. And a reviving, if you please. And here in the days of Hezekiah, this is exactly what took place. And we find that something interesting happens here. If you notice here, it says in verse number 3, as I mentioned earlier, that they could not keep it at that time. The Passover was to be kept on the first month, the 14th day of the month. However, back in the book of Numbers, if you were to go there in chapter number 9, you would find the first 11 verses that God has some people come and they said, Boy, we couldn't do that because we were taking care of some dead amongst us, and therefore we were not sanctified, we were not cleansed. And some others said we were out of the country at the time, and so what do we do? And God made a provision there in that chapter that if they missed the first time because of those things, they could make it up a month later and go through it. Isn't God a God of grace and allows us second chances over and over? And so we find that God allows that to take place. Well, we notice something here, and that is that they're not able to do the thing that they wanted to do, not the whole nation. And they got it done on the 16th, but they couldn't get it done in time. And so they meet together with Hezekiah, and they counsel together, and we find that they come to the realization, hey, we can do this at a later date. And so they send invitations, not only throughout the land of Judah, but even into the land of Israel. Understand, at this time, the northern and the southern kingdom, they are divided. There is Judah, there is Israel. Judah is where the Jerusalem at, is where those who have maintained the faith, or most of them, are at. But they send this letter. And in this letter, we find that they say, listen, you need to come. You need to come back. And God will forgive you. And what do we see? We see in verse number 10 that after that letter goes out, there are some who are mocked. There are those who laugh at them. And so it be as you and I extend the invitation of God to a lost and dying world. And oftentimes we're mocked, and oftentimes we're laughed at. And yet we find there's always some who listen. Nevertheless, in verse number 11 says, divers of Asher, of Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. There are those who listened. I look at this whole scenario, and there's some things that just seem to kind of jump out. There's some things I look at here, and as we think about this thing of revival, I hesitate. The meetings we're having to come in another week, call them revival meetings. Revival is a state of the heart. It's something that takes place in every life. And certainly we'd like to see not only individual revival, but we'd like to see church-wide revival. We need that. We need that desperately. Oh my, wouldn't it be great to see national revival? Wouldn't it be good that we might see our nation turn back to God? We would love to see that. And I believe all things are possible with God. And so as we look at these kinds of things and we consider this, I want us to stop and think about this. Why is it at this time that things take place? What happens? What is there here that this comes about? And the first thing that really strikes me is that Judah had come together under their God-given leader. God had given them, though many before had not been godly people, we find Hezekiah comes on the scene. Hezekiah loves God, and Hezekiah, he begins in the very first moments of his kingship to reestablish some godly principles. And we find that the people of Judah come together with him. More than an outward participation in the Passover ceremony is involved. We find that with these people, there is a submission of their will. There is amongst these an abandonment of their former courses of action. We find that their spirit that had been docile and just not really stirred is now directed towards the Lord. Their habit of abiding with God and communing with Him had not been what it ought to be. But now that we see that things have changed, our God says to us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which your reasonable service. And God wants us to come under the God-given leadership that He has. We find, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in our churches, we find that there are those in leadership. We're finding far too often today that men are looking outside the local church. And they're looking to do it their ways. They have become their own judges as they do it right in their own eyes. But God has established two wonderful institutions for His glory. One of them is the family, and there's leadership in the family, or ought to be. And the other is the church, and there's leadership in the church. At least there ought to be. Amen. So we have these two organizations that God has brought together. And I hesitate using the word organization. Maybe organism might be better, because it's a living entity. And as we come together to accomplish what God wants and to follow after Him, it's amazing what can begin to take place. However, today in our society, so many people are looking away from the local church. They're looking in other directions, and they are thwarting revival. Do you understand tonight that if real revival, He had opened our Baptist church, the seats would be just as full tonight as they were this morning? Do you realize if revival really had opened our Baptist church a week from tomorrow night, when Brother Stalin is here, there would be just as many people sitting here? if revival really took place. But we seek to do it our way. And we follow after our own appointed methods. And we find that not taking place. They had come together under their God-given leader, and his name was Hezekiah. We find that even though they were late in accomplishing what needed to be done, God healed them nonetheless. As we look here in our chapter, we find that, they were, 2 days late to even start having Passover. And so God had already made provision that they could go to the next month. And we find that as they do meet together, that Hezekiah prays and asks God to heal them, forgive them. As a matter of fact, they are so excited as a result of that. You go down to chapter 30 and verse number 23, and you find there that the whole council, the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. This wasn't Hezekiah's idea. These folks were so excited. Hey, listen, this thing, they wanted to carry on. There's been times when we've had meetings take place and God's people are so touched. They really didn't want it to end. And I've even had people ask, can the evangelist stay another day? That's when things really begin to take place. And it's the need of the hour. Revival is coming together under the authority of God. It's allowing Him to have that first place and to give us our directions, not as we please, not as we think is right, but thus saith the Lord. And we find something very interesting about this revival. As they go back to their homes, it changes their home life. We find in chapter number 31 and verse number 1, it says, now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah, and notice, and break the images in pieces, and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places, and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. They went back to their homes. What had taken place? Revival in their hearts. They come under the authority of God. They was allowing God to show them the direction to go. They're now participating, and they have cleansed themselves and participating in that which God had enjoined them to do. And they gathered together at Jerusalem, and God blessed them abundantly. And they are so excited, they have another 7 days. But when that 14 days is over, they go their directions, and we find that all the old religious actions that they had done, they remove them. Notice verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning, evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. You know what he's telling them? You need to take care of these people. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. Wow. They had plenty. Offerings were reinstituted. Interesting that one of the things that goes with revival is giving. Because we become like the Lord. For God so loved He what? He gave. But I want to remind you of one last thing. When revival comes into your heart, whether it be to you individually, whether it come as a church or even as a nation, understand there will always be testing that will follow. In chapter number 32, we read that as they have been having great success and God's been blessing, there's a man by the name of Sennacherib who comes up against them. He is very powerful and he brings these armies against Israel. In verse number 6, it says, "And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfort to them, saying, Be strong, courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Why did they listen to him in these moments? Because their heart had been revived. Because they'd put themselves under the leadership that God had given them. They had their hearts revived. They were following what God had established for them. And when the test came, the leader said, "Be strong and courageous. They might outnumber us on the battlefield, but they don't outnumber us because we have the whole host of heaven with us." He says, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Interesting. Verse number 21 said, "And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come to the house of his God that came forth of his own bowels, slew him there with the sword." Sennacherib goes back home after losing the battle. The particulars come to us in 1 Kings 19:35. And there it says, "It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Wow. The arm of the flesh proves very insignificant to God. Amen. There are the tests that come afterwards. Revivals are coming together under the authority of God. Letting Him be God. Letting Him give us the directions. Letting Him say, "Hey, this is the way it's supposed to be." Far too often we say, "No, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to follow my own dictates. I'm going to do it this way. I'm not going to do it the way you say, preacher. I'm not going to do it the way that God says it. I'm not going to do it the way mom says it or dad says it. I'm going to do it my way." That's not revival. That's disaster. And that's where many are at tonight. Oh, how we need this. Amen. May God bring that into our hearts and lives. May we that are here tonight say, "Oh God, do a work in my life. Show me the direction you want me to go." Putting myself under your authority, not my own. We're not independent. We are dependents upon Him. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Speak to us, oh God. We are so prone to follow our own directions in so many areas. You show us in your word the direction to go, and we stubbornly go our own way. Lord, I pray you might bring some reviving to hearts and lives. Begin it in ours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. Christine, if you would, you'd play this evening. In a week, we will have a new voice. The Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. It's interesting how God uses different voices and to what speak to us. Sometimes we become accustomed to one, and it's just kind of blah, 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 blah. What did we hear last week, Jeff? In church services, we come and all we hear is wah, 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 wah. And all we want is to get out. Not let God really speak to our hearts. Let's pray that God can really speak to hearts the next few weeks and do a real work in our lives. Father, tonight bless and work as we go our separate ways. May we this evening allow you that special, wondrous place of preeminence, O God. Bless, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.